Okay, today is the 44th day of the Omer. It's May 14th, Limus Barum. It is the 29th of Iyar. We wish Mazel Tov. Yesterday was Yom Yerushalayim. Yeah. Yesterday was Mother's Day. But every day is Mother's Day, as we spoke about last time. And Mazel Tov to the Novaks and the Bris of Menachem Mendel Novak yesterday.
Mazel Tov.
And I just came from the Bris of Tzvi Hershachter this morning.
Mazel Tov.
But that's not what made me late. It's this crazy
structure.
Okay. Here we go. We are studying the Olam HaKavod in the Olam HaMidos. We're on page Ayin Aleph.
Wait, does he have an extra?
Pen? Okay, the section that we were talking about is the relationship between parent and child. Aside from the Torah ideas expressed in this section, just practical parenting ideas are very worthwhile hearing, and they're relevant to other relationships too. Teva ha'adam, bottom of page Ayin Aleph. Teva ha'adam she'enav tzofim lahorov. It is the nature of man. Nature of a human being that his eyes look to his parents. Ain adam choshev ain hayelad kumahor. There's nobody as important in the child's eyes like his parents. It's a natural, innate tendency. V'lochein mesharach hashivus laide haskamas taitim. Therefore, he assesses his importance by their haskama, their approbation, their agreement. Harei hayeladim biyad harem kumachomer biyad hayotzer. So children are in their parents' hands like material in the hand of the craftsman, which is a phrase that we use on Yom Kippur. Kihine kachomer biyada yotzer, a very emotional piyut that we recite on the eve of Yom Kippur, and he's borrowing that imagery. There we're talking about how we are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's an air anpin in a smaller level, in a smaller realm. That's the way a child is in the hands of his parents. Upachad norahu ha'achrayas hamutaleim. It's an awesome and frightful responsibility to put on parents. Ain suffik shaharbi bachrim shurachmal tzan notu mederach Hashem. Now, again, I want you to just realize he's writing to a particular audience. And so, as I've said many times, the sefer is really geared at yeshiva bachrim. So he's talking about yeshiva bachrim who go off. Asukein shahareyam hayu chaserim binyan zeh. Sometimes there's something wrong in the parenting and giving kavod. Nesinas kavod v'chashivas labanov shal adam. Who yisod hachinuch, giving kavod and chashivas to one's children is the foundation of chinuch. Utzrichim lizar ba ma'od ma'od, and we have to be very careful with it. Olam mole munach kan. There's a whole world, baslikt in dem, vizak mendas hanyach veisnisht, which lays within this. Thank you. I have a translator. Everybody needs a good translator.
So say this again.
It doesn't translate in English as well to say a whole world lays within this, but a ganze Welt liegt in dem.
I got you. Yeah. You got
understand it.
In
other words, there's a lot more than just rattling this off in a sentence. This is a Torah Shlema unto itself. So he's going to give some examples, some of the foundational principles here, and a person can expand. Alahorim, top of Ayin Beis. It's upon the parents, I would translate that as to shower down love and affection to their children. As we've written, a person is strengthened by the affinity, by the love of other people. If that's true in general, any person who shows me friendship, it builds me up. So how much more so from the parents? Children need the love of their parents. Isn't this whole discussion superfluous? Every parent loves their children. Yeah, I mean, it's important, but it's so ubiquitous and ibrik tzereden. Needless to talk about. No. Emes nachon adav. That's true. V'chol echad yimser nafsho l'chayi b'no. And every person would give his life for his children. But many times, it's only lying within. And the child doesn't feel the strength of the love. There's a lot of forces at play that are not visible. And children are not that sophisticated always to pick up on it. So the fact that the parent has latent within his or her heart such a commitment to the child, but right now they're just sitting there quietly. So the child doesn't always feel it. Vizoko kuliros asav, he needs to see it. And how many times did it happen in relationships that something blows up or something? Didn't you realize that that's what I meant all along? That's what I was thinking. Don't you know that's how I feel? But the person never said it, and it's missing.
You know, I had a very moving experience when I went to the Bris. Yeah, we went to the Bris yesterday. This is a community of Lien Hara, many, many children. An average, a young family is considered six. You know, so you know what you're dealing with. There are children who feel that they are overlooked in this kind of family. So the community is very smart. They have stopgap measures all the way. They have organizations to help these children. And they start early on so that they get psychological, they get physical, they get emotional, they get whatever they need, because it's pretty common.
That's very interesting.
And people don't leave the community because of that. Mm-hmm.
No, also
that's an olamole.
The phenomenon of, like, in large families, many children are put into parental roles when they are far too young, and they need parenting, but they're giving way too much responsibility.
Sometimes responsibility grows you, but too much Cinderella.
If it's along with getting the parenting that you need, but if that
you feel taken advantage of, it's not.
It's taken, not good, or that you don't continue to get parented because you're helping parenting, and just when they need it the most.
One more comment. I'm sorry. Our niece had a very interesting comment. She said to me years ago. She said, "I raised my siblings." And she said, "I know exactly what to do with my children."
Wow, that's an important point. It's all about balance.
Yeah. This is a big topic. V'lochein tzrichim lizor laharas ha'ava ben v'dibur ben v'maisa v'chozak v'tmidus. Therefore, we have to be careful to show the love, whether in speech or in action, strongly and constantly. V'chozak v'tmidus. V'zeh tov etzlami kol ha'shashuim. This is better for them than all, I would say, of the coddling, you know, gifts or whatever. V'chovze mutal aleinu miyom shenola hatinok. This obligation is cast upon us from the day the child is born. Shebevadai gam tinokos margishim avas harem. Because certainly even babies understand, they feel the love of their parents. Adhechan advar magiyim. How far does the matter go? Borei mashakavu chazal b'seder pidyon haben. Very interesting ritual we have. You go to a pidyon haben. A firstborn child, or neither the father or the mother, is a Kohen or Levi, and it was a regular delivery, which is why they're not so common. But a lot of people have never been to a Pidyon HaBen. But if you attend a Pidyon HaBen, so HaKohen Shoel Es Ha'av. So we have a text there that comes from the Gaonim. And basically you have to give five sela to redeem your son, but there's a ritual that goes very far back. It goes back probably more than 1,000 years. Where first the father comes to the Kohen, he says, "This is my son." He's a firstborn to his mother, and the Torah commands me to redeem him. And then the Kohen says as follows: it's in Aramaic because that's how the text was originally written. "My boy is tvei. What would you want more? Litein li bincha becharecha, to give me your firstborn son shupeterech limo." He's a firstborn to his mother. "Oh boy is lefedosa bar chamesh shloim kidemechayaft midaraisa." Or would you like to buy him back, to redeem him for five sela, as the Torah obligates you?
Really?
Strange question. V'advarim koshim lahavin. The words are hard to understand. Eizem min shelem unachas kan. Vosvar ashayla lichten dem. I can't help it.
What kind of a question is this?
It's good to have a translator.
It's good to have Yiddish.
In 1995.
Oh, it's great.
Svantik Yartzirik. 20 years ago, I was one Pesach. I spent in Moldova. We went there and we were part of like the yeshiva and the community there. And when I spoke, I had a translator. So one time I spoke, and there's someone next to me translating. So, That
well,
guy.
Then Rabbi Steinberg, then Steinberg.
Yeah. So he said, well, how do we understand this? This is the standard text and opinion of Ben. You can open up a sitter, you'll see it. What kind of a question is that? Is it possible he wants the money more than his son? Why do we have a ritual where the Kohen says to the father, what would you like more, to keep your money or your son? But here we learn an important yisod in chinuch habanim. Maybe this is drash. You know, in other words, maybe this is a kind of an allegorical, a homiletical reading of it, but maybe not. Ha'odam omer sha'ikra etzlo shabanav yetzlichu v'yigdulu b'torah mitzvah. The person says it's very important to him that his children grow up and succeed in Torah mitzvahs. Avorov zmano osuk v'torah b'farnasosa v'havlechayav. But most of his time, he's busy with his parnasa and the vanities of his life. V'olav lishol esatzmo. He has to ask himself, ma choshev lo yoser? What's worth more to him? Banav? Oh, his children, or? So again, every person's circumstance is different. Some people, it's not a question of the child rearing, but at any point in life, we can ask ourselves, what's really worth more to me? The pursuit of the parnasa, the pursuit of the mundane, or being willing to sacrifice that for other things? Vizehu she'elas ha-kohen. This is what the Kohen is asking. L'achem mikain b'meshach ha-shonim nesezeh she'elas ha-ben. Now the child is too young, he's still a baby, but when he gets older, the child has to ask himself. Or maybe he means that the child asks the father. Therefore, a person has to set time when he'll be with his children, as a chok lo yaver means it's a rule without violation. It's not really dependent on the number of hours. That should be complete time without interruptions. The truth is, yeah, quality time is a big concept. There were great rebbes who were very, very busy and saw thousands of people. But the one thing was, when you were talking to them, you all that existed. And that's why it was very meaningful to people. The time you had was absolutely without hafsaka. I was once talking to my rebbe, and he looked out the window, and his car was on the wrong side of the street. Places in
New York,
the world,
that's
yeah.
A big deal.
Yeah, there's something called alternate side of street parking. It's a wonderful creation. So they drive around the truck that smears around the dirt, and they give people tickets. But anyway, he's talking to me. He looked outside. He went like this. He was getting a ticket. He was more interested in the conversation.
But that story about that rabbi with the 400 times.
Right. Preda.
What?
The Gemara tells the story that he had a student who was difficulty understanding, so he taught it to him 400 times so he'd understand. And one time, he thought the rabbi was distracted. The rabbi seemed distracted, so he wasn't able to focus, so he taught him 400 times and still he didn't get it, so he had to do it again. But you see the value of complete focus on your subject. Ha'ikar, the main thing, Shemar lehem she'ohavam v'rotza liyos imam. The main thing is that he shows that he loves and wants to be with them. Right? They're people that they dedicate time, but they're doing a thousand other things, and it's not valuable. Eloship is manim acherim onusu shetar b'dvarim achreichim. If you show that you really want, if the time you spend with somebody, it's clear you really want to be there, so it means the rest of the time I'd like to be there too, but what can I do? I have other exigencies of life to pull me away. Begami sh'amo b'tar yomim v'layla. Even somebody toils in Torah day and night, va'asuk b'mitzvos, busy with mitzvos, tzarach lizar shalei yargishu banav shehim ne'ezavim, has to be careful that his children shouldn't feel that they are abandoned. U'lamashal, for example, in ma'av lomei Torah b'shos ha'boker, if the father's learning Torah in the morning, which is sometimes the only time there is, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I heard this from my rabbi, Rav Melchel Shurkin, who was a student of his, that Rav Moshe was like in the last years of his life, Talmidim came in one morning, and he was long-faced. He really looked very upset. I said, Rebbe, what's the matter? He said, the doctor said I can't get up at 4 in the morning anymore to learn. That's when because the rest of the day people were with him. You know. He said, I'll bleib in a gross on arts. I'm going to remain a big ignoramus. Like the whole world was turning to him. But he meant it. He felt he had things he had to learn. But sometimes the only quiet time is the morning. Ben his over mishinasa, the son wakes up, becoming mitasa, and gets up from his bed. Boil aviv, and he comes to his father, and he wants to talk about Harry Potter. Happens sometimes. Drives me crazy. Ein zemen hanochon she'av lo yosim lev. I don't get the whole thing. Anyway, ein zemen hanochon she'av lo yosim lev elav beglahas madas. It's not appropriate to pay him no heed because of his asmadam. So Torah in my learning, I can't give any attention. Elamiyad yorim rosh mitocha gemar v'yomer shalom alecha b'nei kama sameach ani l'rososcha. Good morning. I'm so happy to see you. Va'klal. The rule is shekal hamar b'laharos avas habanim harezim mashubach. Anybody who shows more love of his children, that's praiseworthy. Olam habanim tzrichim l'hargish avas harem. Children need to feel the love of their parents. V'yaregishu shehem shavim milyone dolarim. V'taychmindas. Milyone dolarim. They're worth $1 million. They have to feel like they're worth $1 million because shehem im harem when they're with their parents. And it is a doable thing. V'ha'emes, and the truth is shem shavim yosef, they're really worth more. She'ein l'shara chashivus adam. Because really, a person's value we can't put any number on, as we've already spoken about. First of all, I ask you, halot tzrichim lochiachas b'neinu lelachas b'derach hatov yashar. It says in Mishlei, chosech shifto soni b'no, which somehow gets translated loosely to spare the rod and spoil the child, but it's one who withholds the rod despises his son. So, what's with all this niceness, 21st century ideology, soft, covered, iron fist, right? So one could ask, what do you mean? The Torah says you do have to give tochacha. How can we show love? You got to show who's boss. Da, you should know, shesha'ela zu ta'osi. This is a mistaken question. Halo tochacha gam ken inyan shel ava. The Torah does is a mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim. You have to rebuke or give constructive criticism to someone who needs it, and this obligation is even stronger with one's own child. But that comes from love. What it means is because you want to help somebody. There's no greater chesed. As the Bar Tanur writes in his commentary on the Mishnah, Mahu Chaver Tov. What's a good friend? Person who gives him tochacha when he sees him doing something that's not appropriate. I don't need a yes man. Oh, everything, you're wonderful, everything's great. The one who can give you constructive criticism is your real friend. What was that saying? Your critics have vital information that your friends are hiding from you.
Right. Right. I heard about that. Yeah. Last week we had spoken about that too, like Kenelacha Chaver.
Right.
So I'm thinking, like, if we do that, when we like, so we usually seek people who are similar to us, and so that would mean to me, like, I'm bringing it down to a very like basic mentality that, like, you know, ruffians on a street. So they're going to stick with ruffians, so they have a specific way that they speak to people. They have their mannerisms, they have their whatever. So they can't, to them, it all seems normal. What I would do would seem normal to them. So if you even take that like to a more elevated level where people really are, where the majority of people are compared to them, how does that play out?
Yeah, well, I think there's a difference between stylistic things and real moral values. The premise of your question is usually friendship is predicated on some commonalities, so how is the person going to criticize me? Because the person's probably similar to me. But I think there's a big difference between, again, things that are just style. You know, you may be more comfortable with somebody who has a similar background, somebody who comes from a different country, a totally different social, and you may find very different, although sometimes those friendships work well, but you might... But those are stylistic things. I'm used to somebody who has a similar background. But in terms of moral value, I should choose people. The ruffian, unfortunately, is choosing people whose moral character is very poor. That's not Kenela Chachover. I may want to choose people who have a similar upbringing to me and speak the similar way to me and dress the same way to me and have a similar economic situation to me because I'm just more comfortable. But I should choose people within that who have strong moral character, who are on the one hand sensitive in the way that they talk to me, but the other hand will express an opinion. You know, it's curious to me, Robert Steinberg, that you said that. I think some people might view it a little bit differently. You may want to think about, you know, some, there are people who know how to give a criticism in a good way, and there can be people who are similar to me, but who have judgment and the strength of character to share that. So I think really what you're asking is more just like stylistic things, and that's okay.
Because like the definition within the Kinei Lecha Chaver, that whole Mishnah with the different relationships, is the definition of the friend is one who can critique
right.
you. So even if you were in a group of ruffians and you wanted to see which is the one I should take, it's the one that would be equally critical of the situation or say to them, you know, what you're doing is not right, or what you know, not someone who would just go along with the pack. But even within that, if you had to pick a friend, pick the one who is most likely to counter it, to be critical, to be, can you take it from the person, is also, you know, do you feel like you would respect that person's opinion of you? Like it's a mutual critique society,
right.
Someone that you see as an equal in that way and that you can hear it.
Right, and I mean, the flip side of what you're saying is maybe that sometimes we're drawn to friendships that are comfortable because they won't criticize me.
Right, that's what I'm
and
sure.
If that's the case, then I should be choosing. I mean, sometimes people get stuck in a social situation that's not good for them because they're with people who really won't pick them up, and that requires, you know, some real soul searching and some adjustment. That's more difficult.
I think there's another way to read the rod and the child, like that we interpret it as corporal punishment. As though the rod is a physical thing. But if you look at it, I think, in terms of structure, that the greatest gift you can give the child is rules and organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a miscarriage, you know, like
right.
it's not a physical rod, but a structure
right.
of rules that the child can see, and then you're really helping them. A child that doesn't have structure has, which can seem harsh, both as the parent who's giving it, as a child who has to live with it. But a child without
right.
structure
right.
is lost, and the parent without that, you know, to go back to, well, these are the rules,
right.
is lost.
Yeah, that's actually something I think about a lot, and what you're expressing, I think, is similar to what Rav Moshe wrote to Ronald Reagan. There's
Rav Moshe
finds there's a tshuva Igros Moshe. It's actually written to Rabbi Moshe Sherer, who was the head of Agudas Yisrael, but it was for the President of the United States, who was Ronald Reagan at the time. He wanted to understand the Jewish view of punishment. And what Rav Moshe writes there, if I recall correctly, is it's certainly not that we mean to punish and to be harsh. It's not even as a deterrent. A lot of times we think of it, it's a deterrent. All these harsh punishments are meant to be a deterrent. He said it's not even deterrent. It's more, like you use the word structure, it's more like it gives us a way of thinking.
Uh-huh. These are the boundaries.
Like when you learn Gemara, that's an Isser Skila. We're not actually thinking about stoning somebody, but it's a way of saying that's a heavy mitzvah. So it almost gives it definitions.
Like,
that's right.
It's a whole framework.
The person's not actually thinking about being punished, but this is a weighty thing. This is a serious red line. It gives, like you said, it gives structure to things. That's the way he expressed it there, which is an interesting way of understanding. But that's exactly right. I think, and you read a lot of Sukkim and they're about Tochacha, it means the seriousness of life, the seriousness of not transgressing. It doesn't really mean about rebuking and punishing. The word Tochacha...
How can people see the boundaries?
Right.
That you can go here, but no, you really can't go
right.
over there. But if you don't tell them where the boundary is, then they can fall
right.
off the cliff.
Right. So often, people have heard the words so many times, but it hasn't registered. As a matter of fact, years ago, sitting right here, we learned Rav Kook's Musar Avicha, and he
yep.
said the difficulty with Musar is that if I'm learning Hilchos Sukkah and you tell me a wall and you tell me schach, or I'm learning about tzitzis or tefillin or any mitzvah, if you use words and I read them, I know what I'm talking about. Or if I don't know what the translation is, something, so I look at, you know, if I know a word, I know what it is. But you learn Musar and you hear words, you could say over all the words and not really understand it. That's sometimes we forget. Yeah, try to convey a message to somebody, and the person could say it over, but they still don't get it.
The whole Kinei Lecha Chaver, what's your definition of a friend? The point is, it's giving you a definition of a friend, but you have to hang in there to let go of your definition
right.
and say, what are they really teaching me about
right,
friendship?
Right, friend, there you go. I know what a friend is.
I have friends,
yeah.
they're all in the gang, you
right.
know?
That's right. Yeah, and that's why I think some people are so frustrated by Musar, Bali Musar. sometimes the Obama says, look at this, this is amazing, and they'll show you something like, I don't know, it's pretty pushy. It just says, but it's such a big insight, because if you grasped it, it's a big insight. The fact that people are moved so much by the Mesillas Yesharim, many of the words seem so simple, but they're not. To understand it is something else. But that's right. Okay, we're on page Ayin Gimel. And he's asking the question, don't we have to give tochacha? But the answer is, as he says from the Bar Tanura here, tochacha is chesed. So the sixth line of that middle paragraph in Ayin Gimel, v'lochein, kishadam tzarech lanosh es b'no, asa lasos kemi tochsin v'kas. The person has to punish his son, it's forbidden to do so out of despising or anger. Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, the Rambam's great son, is the Sefer HaMaspik Lov de Hashem. It's this great work. We don't even have the whole thing, but a lot of it is a Musar Sefer. And he writes there at length about Kaz. He said there never should actually be real anger. Anger should be a show. And I'm frustrated because if this is the third time I'm telling you, but it's all really the person's in total equilibrium. It's just to when he deems it necessary out of a balanced and dispassionate analysis, so he shows anger, but it's not really on the inside at all.
Yeah,
if you have to say I'm angry at you, then,
yeah.
That's good. She'oz ha'onish einu nasa b'yashrus l'toelis ha'ben. Because if it comes for anger, then it's not done, he used the word yashrus, straightness, but it means with balance, for the benefit of the son, l'toelis atzma l'hotzei ha'kas milibo. It's he's doing it for himself. He's angry and he's letting off steam, but that's not for the benefit of the recipient. We'll talk about this later in that section. Oh, here you go. He quotes the pasuk. What do you mean? Spare the rod, and it means you despise the child. Shofil is safe for the crow. That's an expression that means go down to the end of the pasuk. Ve'ohavo shicharo musar. But one who loves him will, the different ways of translating the word shicharo, it means do it consistently, morning after morning, but one who loves him will give him musar. So sometimes people read the beginning of a pasuk and not the end. The Netziv, this is apropos to Matan Torah, which is upon us, it says in Parshas Kisisa, Va'yitein el Moshe kechalosa ledaber ito. Hashem gave to Moshe when he finished speaking to him the luchos, but it's spelled Vayitan Moshe kichaloso, kichaloso, like Vayichal Elokim by Moshe means. And he concluded, but the word is spelled without the vav, so you could read it kichaloso. He gave it to him like a kala, chasen and a kala. So Mazel Tov, by the way. Speaking of chasen and kala, you inspired me.
Mazel Tov.
There's a famous chazal, just as a kala, the Navi Yirmiyah talks about 24 different adornments, jewelry that a kala would wear, so just like a kala wears 24 adornments, so too the Talmud Chacham is adorned with the 24 books of Tanakh.
Wow, I like that.
So you think about it, that's an interesting metaphor. A kala wears jewelry, Talmud Chacham wears the 24 books of Tanakh.
Is that where giving the shas came from?
No, sorry, that's the opposite. Hold on. So you would think the Tanakh is not the adornments. He's a Talmud Chacham.
He should already have it.
Yeah, that's what he is. Ornaments is something you put on. Okay, there's jewelry, rings, necklaces, whatever. But why is Tanakh being described as the jewelry? He says the Netziv because the essence of the Talmud Chacham is the understanding. It's the Torah Shebal Peh. Psukim, it's like poetry, right? If you don't know what it means, you can quote any pasuk. If a person wants to sound zealous, he can quote psukim like Chosin Shifto Soni B'No, Ayin Tachas Ayin, an eye for an eye. A person wants to be peace loving to an extreme that you never fight a battle even when they're being attacked. A person can sort of pull out certain psukim, but if he doesn't understand the full picture and what they mean and what the deeper meaning is, so only a Talmud Chacham should be citing psukim. If you understand what's behind the psukim, you can cite the psukim. And as the essence of the Talmud Chacham, but if the way he puts it is, if a person's not the Kala, and she puts on he gets all for puts, it looks strange, it doesn't look appropriate. Otherwise, it's the devil citing scriptures. So yeah, so people say, what do you mean? Pasuk says, Chosuk Shifto Soni Beno. So he says, go look at the end of the Pasuk. It says, Va'ohav O'shicharo Musar. The opposite of the one who doesn't punish is, well, most of Mishlei's opposites. One half of the Pasuk and the other. What's the opposite of the person who doesn't punish appropriately? The one who loves his child. And that's really? The point that Shlomo Melech is trying to make. So if a person is trying to make an argument, you need to punish, and it's not coming from love, he's not living up to this pasuk. All the rebuke has to be from love. It's worthwhile for him to say, he loves his, you should tell the son he loves him, but and the punishing is difficult. I'm sorry I have to bring you to the doctor. The shot's going to hurt, but it's for your health. So I'm sorry I have to punish in this case, but it's for your benefit. Nobody gets, no rational child is upset that the parent brought him to the doctor. Everything we wrote above in general about giving kavod to people, shayach l'inyan kavod habana, is relevant to children. Some people think they don't have to conduct themselves with respect toward their children. To the contrary, the Torah requires them to give kavod to us. Or they think they own them, my possessions. Or they think, yeah, it's just kids. Kids don't need respect. You can destroy a child without giving respect. This is all a great mistake. We have to give cover to everyone. How much more so to our children? Their respect is very much dependent on us. Certainly the parents have to be the ones who determine what's to be done. There should be a hierarchy. And again, the world is topsy-turvy and is missing this. But you should realize having that is no contradiction to respect. And certainly in a home, the parents call the shots, and chas v'shalom if it's the other way around. Avol tzarech l'hagid l'hem b'kavod, but it has to be said with respect, v'akoshu v'nachas, just like Hashem says, na'asa adam, let us make man. And we learn from that even though Hashem calls the shots, but he speaks kivayochel respectfully to the malachim. So too, even when you call the shots, there's a way to say something humbly and not arrogantly. Not like a master to a slave. You're also educating them how they should be toward others. Usually it's learned behaviors. So if the parent yells out orders, it's likely the child will end up being that way. It's incumbent upon us to pay attention to their feelings. Their cries are just like anybody else's cry. I never saw this quoted, but they say in the name of Yisrael Salantim, Natalta Sukariya Mitinok, Areza Kemoshi Natalta Kala Olam Hazemimano. If you take a candy from a baby, from a child, it's like you took his whole world. Doesn't understand the value of things. We understand that other things have greater value and this is temporary. But the child who lives in the moment, you take that away. You took away everything. You have to understand adults have what's important to them. And children have what's important to them. There's a Rebbe in the yeshiva that I attended, he used to always say, every age has its own sandbox. He meant it the other way. He meant that people think that their toys are sophisticated. Yeah, playing in the sandbox, just a little more expensive, a little more complicated. But looking at that from a different perspective, there are things in our lives, oh, well, if you take that away, that's important. But to the kid who has a simple life, you take something simple away, it's the same thing. Barak achzarius v'tipshus lachshav, it's only cruelty and uses the word stupidity to think, Alma hayeled bocha, what's he crying about? It's not important. It's appropriate to mention. Yeah.
Yeah, I always tell people, or I used to when I was in the early childhood business, that when you ask a child to share their toys and the kids screaming, I said, well, how frequently do you share your car? You know?
That's right.
And then we just expect that the kid is going to, like, share. So it's this magic. I said, do you share a car? It's like, do you share? Right. You're like, diamonds? You know, like, what do you share? Right. Can I borrow your wallet for an hour? You know, you know, you would never, when you say to every child, like, you know, share that. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like this expectation that...
Right. That's right.
I like the same parts everybody else.
Lucky she, lucky too.
Yeah. It happens to be the second day of Shavuos is the yard site of the famous Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram Patatsky, the famous convert at the time of the Vilna Gaon, who ultimately was burned at the stake for the crime of converting to Judaism. We have a whole series of legends associated with his life. In fact, I have a book in my office. It's a translation of a Yiddish book. I don't know how much of it is known and how much of it may be embellished, but there's a legend recorded in numerous places that the executioners were really unwilling. They had to do what they were doing, but they were nervous. They saw he was a great person, and they didn't really want to do it. So they basically asked him for forgiveness. They said, "Yeah, please forgive us for taking torturing your body this way." So Ger Tzedek told them a story. He said when he was a little boy, he was playing in the mud and he was making like little figurines. I guess like out of clay, he made different figurines. And some neighborhood kids came by and they just trampled everything he had just worked on. And then they saw who he was. His father was a very happy person in the church. That's why that whole story happened. And they saw who he was and they were afraid. They said, please, when you get older and you're an important person, don't take that out on us. He said, when I get older, I'm not going to care about mentions, you know, figurines. He told them, he said, well, I'm going, I'm not going to care about what you do to my body. I just mentioned that because we're talking about, in our lives, there are things that we think are so important. We can't say, well, a child doesn't think it's important, but in the real scheme of things, our things aren't important either. It's just a different age of toys, age of toys.
It's funny. My granddaughter Aviva said to me when she was a little girl, she said, when I turn 4, I'm not going to watch Dora anymore, Dora the Explorer. When she turned 4, no more Dora.
Okay. Afunzala. We should all be able to make such a clean graduation from... in fact, actually, my Rabbi Moshe Meiselman had a powerful shmooze he used to give... in the parasha of the Akedah, I've quoted this Chazal in Shul. There's a medrash that the Sultan was trying to get Avram and Yitzchak to not do the mitzvah of the Akedah. So after the Sultan gives up on Avram, he turns to Yitzchak and he makes a few arguments. How can you go along with this? It's crazy. So he's not getting anywhere. And then he says, "What's with the medrash uses a funny word that means like buttons? And what's with the buttons your mother gave you? What's going to be with them?" What does that mean? Like of all, and the way he understood the medrash is that sometimes a person's willing to take all kinds of sacrifices, but there's some silly thing that we can't part with, and you know, that's going to hold me back. You know, what's with the little buttons? What's with the toys? Sometimes the people have their little toys, and that becomes a big inhibitor to wholehearted commitment. And sometimes it's like that. But certainly kids have the things that are important to them, just as adults do, and in the real scheme of things, they're not that different. And we should recognize that and respect that. So, next paragraph. I keep losing the place today. Second paragraph in Ayin Dalet.
Immortality, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. No. End of the first. Uvade harbi pa'amim tzrichim shalol lefayas osam v'mashim rotzim kidei lelamdim v'lechanchem. And certainly there are many times when you shouldn't just placate them with what they want, to give in to every, sometimes the kid's crying because he wants this and he wants that, and you're going to spoil him, literally, if you give in. So sometimes you have to say no. But you always have to recognize and feel their tzar. It is a sacrifice. The child wants that. You want the child to learn that sometimes no is the answer, but don't misunderstand as if there's no desire there. It's incumbent upon us to praise the special kochos, which means, let's say, talents or faculties they have and advantages they have. And it's incumbent upon us to tell them they're milas and they're kochos. Shem lo kain, for if not, lo yakir me'atzmam. Mahu ma'alasem ve'kochosem. This we spoke about at length last time or 2 weeks ago, that nobody really knows his or her own strengths because we're biased. And I don't know if I'm biased that I see myself in too good of a light or too bad of a light, but because I'm part of it, I can't really see it accurately. And we probably waver between seeing ourselves too favorably and then jumping to saying, wait a minute, that's my ego talking and I'm probably nothing, I'm worth it. So we're unable to do it as an unbiased observer. So you need somebody from the outside. So children need that too. How do they know if they really have strengths? It's a rachmanus. It's terrible for children that they don't have parents who give them strength. They very much need that others should see their malas and kochos. Hashem should send them somebody. It's very important that somebody gives them the strength. You have to understand that everybody has different kochos and milos. Yesh miyuchadim b'chachma, yesh b'chesed. Some are unique in chachma, very fast-headed, very deep, very analytical. Some in chesed, very sensitive to others. They intuitively know what's needed. Yesh b'adina, some in refinement. Yesh b'gvura, some in strength. In some contexts, gvura means perseverance. So often, there's a job that needs to get done, but people take one step and don't have the oomph to get it done. Some people can. There's no end. There's all kinds of different areas of milus. As we wrote above, every person has a unique role in the world to complete his world. Hashem made people not by accident. Each person is different. A different reflection, a different tzelem elokim, and that person has a different role. It's very clear that the role that this person was meant to play was not this person's role. There's no competition between one person and his fellow. If we're all supposed to play the same role, then if you got the part in the play, then I didn't, and then it's no good. But if we realize we all have a different role to play, there's no competition. It's the job of the father to inculcate this yisod, this foundational principle, in his children. That each one should feel that he's special and important unto himself. And you look around, some people are masters of doing this. And to rouse them, rouse within them the yearning to fulfill, to live up to, and bring out the kochos that rest within them. If the father, God forbid, doesn't understand this, wrote to Dover Echel Lachol Bonav. You know, the father wants his kids to be a certain way. And one of them is. And three of them are. So then, you know, that becomes a very, very untenable situation. But he's able to see, he could excel this way, he could excel this way. This one needs more of this, this one needs this kind of, right? But if he hangs all their chashivas, it's only if you achieve X. Then his children are standing in a precarious situation. It appears this is what the bracha that parents give the children on Friday night. Based on the pasuk, "B'chayu v'arach Yisrael," and "Yisim chelakim kefrayim mechem nasha," as Yaakov told Yosef, that so the children should be blessed. "V'ha'olim omrim shesharish habrachu k'shem shelah yakina ben efrayim nasha ken lo si yakina ben haben la'achiv la'echav v'ben la'acherim." The Velt says the pshat. What it means is, just like Ephraim and Manasseh had no jealousy of one another, so too these children shouldn't have jealousy not of one another, not of others. But v'nira lahosif, it appears we could add a knetch, Bizakman knetch, an added small insight.
But, a knetch is like an insight.
Yeah, have another little shtickle.
Right, shtickle.
Okay. We're reverting to the Mama Lashon.
That's
yeah.
How we
understand it. Okay. Why, in fact, was Menashe not jealous of Ephraim? Yaakov took his right hand and put it on Ephraim. So why is Menashe not jealous? He understood everybody has a unique role in the world. And the Tafkid Ephraim was Shemimena Yavah HaManeg Yoshua Ben Nun V'lo Yish Tafkid Acher. So he's going to have Yoshua Ben Nun descend from him, but I have a different role. It's not my job. Mishum kach lo shina Yaakov es makomam. He said, that's why. Why did Yaakov? Sikel es yado. He switched his hands. Why not just say, no, he's the one who belongs on the right. Bring him over here. Why keep him on the left and switch over? Shekol echad chashivusa b'makomo l'kayim tafkidam yichud. You're still on the right, even if your role is the left hand. You still have the right importance, even if it seems smaller. To point out the irony that you can have the position of prominence, even if the hand of prominence doesn't go on your head. That's what he wants to explain. That's what the Father blesses his children, that everyone should understand he has a unique role, his gadol kafi kochosav, to develop per his kochos, v'lavars nisyonosav b'chayev, and to go through, to traverse his nisyonos in life, v'yizkeh l'malas tafkido, he should be zocher to fulfill his role, v'zehu chinuch amiti, that is true chinuch, I've mentioned it many times, elokayad shalonu tzarti eni chedai, Tefillah Gemara mentions in Maseches Brachos, before I was created, I wasn't Kedai, means I didn't belong in the universe at any other time. I was put into the world in this time, in this place, with these circumstances, and we're meant to fulfill our tafkid as we are put in the world, and to help children to understand that is a big job, because we adults often don't understand it. Oh, my circumstances aren't right. The time is out of joint, oh cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right. Mrs. Who taught me English in ninth grade? That's the only reason I remember that. Ms. Reznikov. Sometimes we're like, oh, it's because it's no good. So kids see the world that way also. I'm in a bad circumstance, and that's why. But if you can get people to see, no, just ride the waves that you find yourself in, and that's the greatest thing in the world. And that's the famous teaching of the Rebbe of Zishavan in Pali. When I get upset, they're not going to ask me why I wasn't this one. They're not going to ask me why I wasn't Zusha, right? And that's the way we should all see it and be Makabel Torah, each of us in our own way, and live up to our high calling, Be'ezras Hashem.
Amen.
A week. And if I don't see you, have a very joyous
Manatantara saying. You're not teaching us.